Hello, everybody, and welcome to Easter Week at Basic Gospel. Basic Gospel, of course, a media ministry proclaiming the love, grace, and life of Jesus Christ as revealed in the New Covenant. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we want to hear from you on today's program. So if you have a Bible question or if there are issues you're dealing with, we'd welcome your call right now to 844-322-2742. That, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now, because it is Basic Gospel, everybody, and here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. It is Easter week. It's the, I think, most important week of the year as far as Christians are concerned.
Agreed.
This is when we celebrate the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, what all that means to us on an individual basis, what it means to the Church of Jesus Christ, and what it means for the entire world. We have a message of hope that we can offer to anyone, anywhere, based on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So this is huge. This is a week where we celebrate the most important event that has ever occurred in human history. Yesterday, many churches celebrated Palm Sunday, not only here in the United States, but the world over. It was the Sunday that Jesus marched triumphantly into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, a humble picture. And that's how Jesus comes into this world in humble estate and humble means. And it's how we receive Jesus. God gives grace to the humble, but rejects the proud. So we receive Jesus in humility. But I think it's important for us to think back on the day that we came to know Christ, that we responded through faith to the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And what happened that day was exactly what happened Palm Sunday over 2,000 years ago. Jesus marched triumphantly into your life.
Right.
He set up shop inside of you. He became the king of your domain.
Yeah.
And that is good news. That is such good news. So think back on that day that you were saved. Also, as we begin this week, the most important event is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus died, and there couldn't be resurrection without a death, so
sure.
Jesus had to die. In dying, he took away our sins. In dying, he brought an end to the old covenant. He fulfilled it in its entirety. But that was just part of the story. The real story happened on that third day when he was raised from the dead, and all of Christianity hinges on that event. Paul put it this way in his letter to the Corinthians. This is verse 14 of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. So if Christ had not been raised from the dead, then what Paul was doing back in his day, going around the world telling people that Christ had been raised, that would all have been in vain.
Yeah.
For absolutely nothing. And then those who believed that message would have believed in vain. Why? Because they were believing a lie, a made-up story, a hoax, or something of that nature. But we know that, in fact, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. But it's kind of interesting, Bob, when you read this passage, and if Christ has not been raised, here Paul lays out the game plan for the skeptics. If you want to disprove Christianity, if you want to crumble it at its very core, if you want to bring it down, then go about finding proof that Jesus Christ was not raised from the dead. Because if he wasn't raised from the dead, there is no Christianity.
Right.
Now, skeptics for 2,000 years have been trying to do that very thing, to disprove Christianity by disproving the resurrection. And they come up with all kinds of theories and stuff to try to disprove it. One of those theories arose very quickly after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. For John tells us about that in his letter, his first letter, chapter 4. And he says this, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God." So early on, there started a doctrine or an idea that there is a difference between spirit and flesh. Spirit is good, flesh is evil. So Jesus being good, being the Son of God, he could have never taken upon himself a fleshly body. That would have made him bad. So there were people, Gnostics, the forerunners of Gnosticism, that said Jesus was merely a spirit being. He wasn't a physical being, a corporal being. He was a spiritual being only. And so that death on the cross, he died only in appearance. It wasn't an actual physical death. And if it wasn't a physical death, then it wasn't a physical resurrection. And so they were trying to disprove Christianity by saying the very essence of Jesus was merely spiritual.
Right.
That they denied what Jesus said about himself and what the apostles said about Jesus, that he became flesh and blood and dwelt among us, that he became as one of us, human in nature. And so they started denying or trying to disprove Christianity by saying that Jesus was just a spiritual being and his death, burial, and resurrection were in appearance only.
Yeah.
So many people have latched on to that through the centuries, and they continue to promote it. New Agers today promote that very idea that Jesus was just a spirit being. Even Muslims deny that Jesus died on a cross, that if he did, it was only in appearance. Hindus believe the same thing. Why? Because they don't want to give credit to the fact that Jesus died to take away our sins, that he was buried, that on the third day he arose from the dead, and that he and he alone is the way, the truth, and the life, is the path to salvation. If you believe that Jesus truly was raised from the dead, then you have to give credence to the fact that his claims about himself are true, and that if his claims about himself are true, then the way of salvation is exclusive to Jesus and to Jesus alone. So if you want to disprove Christianity, try to disprove the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I'm here to tell you, for 2,000 years, people have been doing that. Skeptics have been diving in and saying, I'm going to be the one to disprove the resurrection, to crumble Christianity right at its core. And almost every single skeptic who has taken on that endeavor at the end of it have bowed their knee and given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and have become amazing proclaimers of the good news. Why? Because the historical facts are irrefutable. Even skeptics today who have looked at the facts from a historical standpoint have all concluded that indeed Jesus lived as a human being, that he was crucified on a Roman cross, that his tomb is empty, that he appeared to people after his resurrection, and this gave rise to what we know as Christianity today. So the facts are irrefutable. They are there, and as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:20, but in fact, historical fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. And folks, that is the good news.
That is such good news, Bob. Thanks for sharing those thoughts with us as we get this edition of Basic Gospel underway, everybody. Thanks to you for being here with us. We have open lines at 844-322-2742. That number good, of course, in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. So if you have something you'd like to talk about, maybe a Bible question, good opportunity right now. The lines are wide open, 844-322-2742. Now, for those of you who support Basic Gospel this month, we want to say thanks by sending you an excellent resource called The New Covenant Journey. It's a journey to a place of resting, and it will equip you to live your life in Jesus Christ abundantly. The New Covenant Journey, click donate at basicgospel.net and request your copy. Now, in conjunction with that, Basic Gospel needs your support to enable us to continue broadcasting and streaming the New Covenant message of grace and life in the Lord Jesus Christ. The upcoming observance of Resurrection Day is a most proper time, I believe, to say thank you for what Jesus has done by making a generous gift to keep his message going forward. And we sincerely thank those of you who faithfully support Basic Gospel every month. If you are new to this broadcast, we urge you to keep listening and allow the truth of God's Word to do its work in your heart. And if that has begun to happen, we ask you to prayerfully consider supporting this ministry and this message with a celebration of Easter gift at basicgospel.net. You can make your gift any time, of course, and as you do, be sure to request your copy of The New Covenant Journey. But once again, click donate at basicgospel.net. Again, 844-322-2742. Let us hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines and talk to our friend Mary Jo. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hi. I kind of can't remember my question too well. It has to do with all wrath was poured out on Christ at the cross.
Well, yeah, that's what we see throughout the Word of God. We see that in Romans chapter 3, this is just a beautiful picture. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he passed over former sins, and it was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. So the cross of Jesus Christ is where God dealt with the sin issue once and for all. And Jesus took the punishment that you and I deserve. And as a result of that, he tells us, for example, in Romans 5:9, he says this, since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. So Jesus Christ is our salvation from that final judgment. There's going to be a day when God and Jesus Christ judge those who have not come to Christ by faith, and they are going to experience eternal death, and that is the wrath of God. We've been saved from that wrath by the saving life of Jesus Christ. So that's not going to affect us as believers at all. Our judgment, our final judgment, is eternal life. Now, that's good news, isn't it, Mary Jo?
Oh, it's wonderful news.
Yeah, so Jesus Christ stepped into your shoes. He took your sins upon himself, and he turned aside the wrath of God that was headed directly toward you, and he turned it toward himself. And so he took the punishment for your sins. And in doing so, he freed you to experience eternal life here and now and forever. So you don't have to worry about the wrath of God. It has been handled in Jesus once and for all.
Well, what does propitiation mean?
Well, it means to satisfy, basically. So Jesus Christ satisfied the wrath of God on your behalf.
Okay.
Okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah, he did it all for me because of his love for me. And say that word again.
Propitiation.
Propitiation. That means God was satisfied with the death of Jesus Christ.
On your behalf. Absolutely.
On my behalf.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Great question today, Mary Jo.
Yeah.
Well, happy Easter to you.
You too. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Yes.
Thanks, Mary Jo. 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you if you have something to talk about. We'll talk about it with you here at Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, everybody. We had this Facebook question from Kelly. She says, so since we trust Jesus and we have asked him to come into our hearts, we're already forgiven. Is it unnecessary to ask for forgiveness? What if you do? Is it okay to ask for forgiveness?
Well, here's the truth. I mean, 1 John 2:12 says this, I write to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. Acts 10:43 says this, anyone who receives Jesus receives forgiveness of sins. So anyone who believes upon the name of Jesus receives forgiveness of sins. We read in Ephesians 1:7, in him, in Christ, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. So the Word of God is very clear. A believer has received the gift of life, God's eternal life in Jesus Christ, and has received the gift of forgiveness. So you have received all the forgiveness that you're ever going to receive the moment you believed in Jesus. So is it necessary to ask for something that you already have? That's the real question. Is it necessary to keep asking God, please forgive me, please forgive me, please forgive me? I think if you do, and it's always okay if you do ask for forgiveness, but you're going to have to be open to hearing the answer. And the answer is this, I already did. That's what God's going to say to you. I already did. Look at the cross. Jesus Christ shed his blood. He died for your sins. And so when you receive Jesus, you received what he provided for you back then. And what he provided for you was forgiveness. And so you are in Christ. You've been declared righteous, which means your sins have been forgiven. And so you rejoice in that. And so if you ask today, Lord, Lord, please forgive this sin. Please forgive me for speaking harshly with my husband or with my wife. Please forgive me for doing this to so-and-so. God is going to take you right back to the cross. The Spirit of God is going to take you right back to the cross. And he is going to say to you, Jesus Christ shed the blood. He's not going to shed it again. And without that shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. He shed it once, which means when you received him, you received the full package of forgiveness. God isn't doling that out sin by sin, day by day, moment by moment. You have it all in Christ Jesus. So what's going to happen as you grow in your understanding of what Christ accomplished for you at the cross, and you begin to rest more and more in that finished work, you're going to see that question, Lord, please forgive me, turn into a response of thankfulness. You're going to see it grow into a conversation like this. Lord, I really messed up. But thank you that Jesus saw that sin 2,000 years ago. Thank you that he dealt with it once and for all. And thank you that as a result, I am a forgiven person. That sin has already been taken care of. That sin is forgiven once and for all. So you're going to see that question of doubt turn into a response of gratitude, of gratefulness, and assurance, knowing that in Christ you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins?
Great question, Kelly. Thanks for posing it. And Bob, as an extension of Kelly's question, is this one from Dan. He says, is everyone forgiven whether or not they repent and believe?
Well, the blood's been shed, hasn't it? So there's not going to be another sacrifice for sin. God the Father was satisfied with the work of Jesus Christ. So there's not going to be another sacrifice. If you're waiting for another sacrifice, you're going to wait forever, because another sacrifice isn't going to come that will be of such value to take away your sins. So if you're going to receive forgiveness, this forgiveness is bound up in the person of Jesus Christ. It's in him. It's not outside of Jesus. It's in Jesus. So it's going to be credited to your account when you receive Jesus Christ. As it says in Genesis 12 or Genesis 15, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Well, what does righteousness mean? Righteousness means that you have been declared right in the sight of God. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that your sins have been forgiven. So when you believe God, it's credited to you as righteousness, and in that crediting is the forgiveness of sins. It's in Jesus Christ. So the sacrifice has been made. There's not going to be another sacrifice, but you either receive that or you don't. If you don't, you just remain dead in trespasses and sins. And at the end of your life, if you've never come to Christ by faith, you're going to just remain spiritually dead eternally. That is the wrath to come.
Right.
And that's going to be yours if you rebel and reject the good news of Jesus Christ. So what the sad part is, everything had already been done. All a person had to do was receive the gift.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
When we receive the gift, within that gift is the gift of forgiveness.
Yes, indeed. Well, it is a program of qualifications, I believe. This question from Yurok, do all Spirit-filled believers speak in tongues?
No, they don't. I've never spoken in tongues. And I'm indwelt by the Spirit of God. And here's what we need to understand. To be filled with the Spirit is to be filled with an understanding of the love of God. So the real language of the Spirit is not a foreign language. It's not an ecstatic utterance. It's not an angelic language. The real language of the Spirit is the love of God. And every believer is filled with the fruit of the Spirit. We have love, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. All of those things are a part of the fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
And so when we're filled with the Spirit, we're going to be walking in love one toward another. So no, not every believer speaks in tongues. And for somebody to say that you have to speak in tongues in order to be saved, you're just missing the real message of the Bible.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, no, you don't have to speak in tongues, and not every Spirit-filled believer speaks in tongues, but every Spirit-filled believer speaks through the language of love one toward another.
Absolutely. Well, we, of course, love from hearing from you, our friends, our listeners, everybody, and if you have a question over an iBuy, we encourage you to call that same number, 844-322-2742. It's available for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you can just call and speak to the recorder, and we'll be glad to address your question here at Basic Gospel. Again, thanks for being with us today, everybody. Please remember that we have a great resource we'd like to send to you as our way of saying thanks for your gift to keep the message of Resurrection Day going forward. And your gift is a great way to say thanks for what Jesus has done for us through his resurrection. It's called The New Covenant Journey, written by Bob Christopher, to help you live your life in Jesus Christ to the very fullest. And we'll send you a copy, as I said, to say thank you for your celebration of Easter gift to support Basic Gospel. Be sure to request your copy when you click donate at basicgospel.net. Well, that's it for another day, everybody. Thanks for being with us again. And now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I am Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Have those questions ready, because we'd love to hear from you then. See you then. Bye-bye.